Hey, Todd, have you ever listened to the Monday Mass podcast? Have you ever really given it a deep, thorough listening to?
Is this a trick question?
No, this is the beginning. Yeah, it is a trick question because this is the beginning of the Monday Mass podcast.
I feel like what do you mean? Have I ever listened to it?
Like, have you ever sat down?
I listen to you.
You know, warm glass of milk.
No.
Headphones.
No.
In the garage.
I don't like
alone time.
I don't like to hear what I have to say.
I hate us.
Yeah. For the most part, I can't stand anything we're saying.
I honestly, like, what, you know, I like to just put it out there and forget that it's out
right?
there.
Right? That's what I do.
Do you, before we get into anything,
okay,
what do you think of the sound of your own voice?
I don't like it.
I don't like mine either, but it's what I have.
Not a fan, right?
I'm not a fan of myself. Mm. I like your voice.
You do?
Yeah,
yours isn't like that. It's particularly annoying.
Okay. Well, then let's just be fans of each other and forget about it.
I don't like
should we stop the podcast indefinitely right here? It's June 17th, Monday.
There's a problem.
What?
Sorry.
This is the world's greatest action sports podcast. What's the problem, caller?
I think there's a problem. Hi, this is Todd, first time caller, long time listener.
Bobby's first time.
Hey,
talker.
I feel like I don't like watching myself or listening to myself. Like, I don't like watching myself snowboard or surf or skateboard or any of that stuff.
Yeah,
I can
watching myself.
Like pictures. I can take a picture, like a still.
Oh yeah.
But like to see yourself do something, I don't know. I hate it.
I remember the first few times when I saw myself surfing on film. I was so bummed.
I know. It's like,
I go, really? Is that, that's
it's
it?
It's just like diarrhea. Like,
yeah, that's what I got.
Horrible. That's how I am now.
Everybody's the same way.
I'm like that now.
I bet Kelly Slater, Tony Hawk. I mean, I bet all these guys watch themselves on tape and they're just going, oh.
You think Curran Caples sees himself as like not very stylish?
I think he probably sees himself going, oh, God, I could have done that better. I could have done this better.
Right, but do you think he's like, oh, that's aesthetically ugly?
That's a good question. And I can ask him because I'm going to see him in Brazil in just a few days.
Oh, well, toot your own horn.
Well, I'll get to that horn toot soon.
This
is going to be a special episode here on the Monday Mass because, Todd, we put it out there earlier this morning.
What?
If you have any questions for us, send them to us.
Oh, someone
we'll
sent me one.
Them. Well, we're going to get, that's going to be the end of the show.
Really?
Yeah, because.
Why not open up with questions?
Because it's like a tease. Because that's what people, I think, want.
Well, people stick around for nerd news. They don't care.
People are going to be excited.
People are excited for nerd
for
news.
For it. Speaking of nerd news, I was on the Going Deep with Chad and JT podcast on Thursday.
Refresh my memory who Chad and JT are.
These are the guys. They're stand-up comedians. They're surfers. They're hilariously funny.
Well, these are the guys that get on the news.
They are most famous for going to city council meetings.
Oh, okay.
And protesting things like house parties, being proponents for things like freeing Britney Spears, erecting a Paul Walker statues in San Clemente. These guys rule. And I was on their podcast.
And it's all comedic setup.
They're up here. I probably brought their podcast down to here. But we had a good time. That's coming out anytime, any day. It's dropping any day. It's dropping any day, Todd. So that's a podcast shouting out another podcast. Also,
did they
went, a guy they, who, oh, go ahead. You was, have a reader question?
I was just going to ask you if they went deep with you.
They probed pretty deeply. Definitely had to take a shower after.
Like to the end? It was deep?
Deep.
Wow.
Like as.
Deep ass.
A guy who is kind of goes in and out of our realm of nemesis and friend and foe.
Who?
An all around awesome podcaster in the realm of surf. Your boy David Lee Scales.
I don't have a problem with David Lee Scales.
I know. I like to build things up. He's cool. And he
just doesn't know anything about freestyle surfing.
About spins. That's it. Yeah. Like, if that's his worst quality, then he's doing pretty good. If he doesn't know what a 540 is, then he's, and that's it. Like, that's the worst thing you can say about him. He's doing pretty good. He had a great podcast with Nathan Fletcher and Michael Obovitz talking about Heavy Water, which just came out June 13th to a bunch of AMC theaters. I was out of town that day. I missed it.
Only played one day?
It was a special engagement. It's pretty cool, though, because on the podcast, Michael Obovitz throws it out there. I mean, stories that are just crazy to be true.
Nate has the best, and he's the best storyteller, and he has the best stories.
Well, there's already, and I know it's early, but this is what came out of that podcast from Surf Splendor is we're talking potential Oscar buzz
for
Heavy Water.
Really?
Yeah.
Oscar buzz.
Well, the director of the film says it should get an Oscar, and I believe him. He made Sea of Darkness, and we've talked about Sea of Darkness on this show.
Sea of Darkness is great. I wish more people could see Sea of Darkness.
Yeah. He tells the story. He tells the whole story about Martin Daly buying the movie and shelving it.
I have it.
Not putting it.
I have it.
Not shelving
it.
Did
you see it?
I've seen it.
Okay, I have it.
You have it?
Yeah.
Damn, dude, you're cool.
I have a DVD of it.
Did you know that shelving it in drug terminology means sticking it in your butt?
What? Really?
Yeah, but in Hollywood, it just means literally putting it on a shelf.
Shelving it means sticking it in your butt.
Yeah.
Or you
could say...
Plugging
it? A stowaway.
Stowaway, yeah.
Oh, mate.
I'm decapped now.
I had a bad headache, and I didn't want to swallow the aspirin, so I just put a...
Look at me.
Tylenol says a stowaway.
Look at me.
Okay.
I'm decapped now.
Hi, Captain. Happy Father's Day, Todd.
Thanks, that was yesterday.
And happy birthday to your son.
Yep.
He's a huge fan of this podcast.
Cam the man, Van Vorten, is now 18.
Wow.
Yep.
So has he signed those papers?
I took him down to sign up for the draft. Is that still a thing?
I was saying he signed his papers to disengage him. What is it called? When a kid divorces the parents?
Coupling? Uncoupling? I don't know.
I don't. Can we start over? Should we start over?
No. I think
Happy birthday, Cam.
I think this is going great.
You're officially a grown-up.
Did you have to sign up for the draft? Or was that gone by the time you were 18?
I don't remember signing
up. I had to sign up for the fucking draft, dude, when I turned 18.
For Vietnam?
No, for like, I don't know, some other one. Because it was before Gulf War.
Right.
Because I'm old as fuck.
You're not that old.
I'm kind of
You don't fucked. Act old. You don't
I
look
don't.
Old.
I don't. Age is just a number, mentality-wise.
Are you still, and I don't know if this is a beauty secret or not, tell us your secret to looking so young.
Stem cells.
Stem cells.
Yes.
You rub the stem cells on your face.
Mad stem.
Where are you getting these?
I harvest.
You generating them yourself?
We harvest them.
Okay. You harvest stem cells in your garage.
I think
garage,
it's all genetics,
you rub them
dude.
On your face.
It's genetics and not a lot of...
That is your secret.
Not a lot of hard partying.
Todd, you know who this podcast is brought to you by, right?
Yes, I do. Who would you like me to say first?
We're going
to
give you all the codes on our Instagrams, but
OGO.
We had a great meeting with OGO,
yep.
And I got probably one of the sickest travel bags I've ever seen. I'm going to put up a story. I'm packing for Brazil. Like I said, you're going to get a kick out of this bag. It's like nothing. It's like no other bag that I've ever had.
I'm pretty effing jealous about your OGO,
my
your
bag,
big bag.
The big bag. Well, mm-hmm. We're going to get you one. You're on the team.
The problem with OGO, the problem with a big bag like that, not so much OGO. The OGO bag, the only problem I have with that bag is that
you
can
don't have one.
I don't have one, and you can fit so much shit in it that you just keep packing it full of stuff. And it's the first like duffel bag that you can fit a skateboard in lengthwise.
Yeah.
And you're not cramming it in there. And it's
with
ample room.
And I often bring, you're wearing a white t-shirt now, I bring bright t-shirts sometimes to places. Usually I'm in all black, but sometimes I bring bright t-shirts to places. If you put your skateboard in with your bright t-shirts, bearings, bolts, trucks, they're going to get dirty. The skateboard goes in this
secret
crazy top
skateboard
bag. That's going to be on my Instagram later, and probably Todd's because he's getting one too. Thank you, OGO. And we have, Mass 20. If you go to OGO.com.
And I suggest
20%
off. I suggest if you're not familiar, or maybe OGO represents something, you have an old view of what OGO bags are. Look, I'll be the first to tell you that I was shocked when I saw what OGO was up to now. They are not the bag company that you remember from 10, 15 years ago.
It's not Brap.
No, it's not Modogio or Brogio. This is the new OGO.
Oh.
Very urban.
Gee.
Very cool. It's they're rad.
Low key and high tech at the same time.
Yeah, they're just rad bags, and they're not all blown out with colors that you look like a friggin' unicorn threw up on your bag. Like, these are good looking bags.
I
think bags.
I should be in market. I just came up with their slogan. A unicorn. Low key, high tech. Low key, high tech. Patent pending.
Write that
down. Nanocraft CBD. Nanocraft CBD. I got a story from a friend, and we're going to go in
an
more...
An Instagram story?
Yeah, we're going to go more in depth on this because this is pretty incredible. This is a friend of mine that lives up in Canada, and I haven't even talked to him if I'm allowed to say this. But let me just give you the long story short as Todd eats candy.
Well, you brought it.
His mom had anxiety, insomnia. You know, she was on all kinds of things, fentanyl, antidepressants, and had been searching all over for a good CBD company or good CBD brand. And she found it via this podcast.
This is an unsolicited.
This is a friend.
100% true.
That's been listening to this podcast forever. And again, when I talk to more, we can get more of the story. But basically, his mom found Nanocraft through this podcast, and it has changed her life.
And look, we don't peddle. We're not snake oil salesmen over here.
I ain't selling oil. If it's snake oil,
if it sucks, we're not backing it.
No, we don't have to.
My wife and I fight over the, because we run out of the nighttime stuff all the time.
Okay.
I use the nighttime in place. I used to take melatonin because I don't want to wake up in the middle of the night and think about every problem I have.
Well, you're not supposed to use it for massage oil. What? Is that?
Really?
Just put it in your mouth.
Oh, I thought you were just
it's
supposed to.
It's a small bottle.
You massage it in your chest. No.
You just drop it in your mouth.
Oh, see, that's why I'm going through so much of it.
Yeah. But it works.
As massage oil.
And as mouth
and
oil.
As in mouth oil.
So it helps you sleep.
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
I use it. All kidding aside, it is the best full night sleep agent I've ever used.
I'm not kidding about the massage oil. Don't use it as massage oil. You can, but. Or active skin repair.
Lube?
Well, if you want your wiener to go to sleep. I don't know. I'm willing to give it a try. I trust Nanocraft.
What do you think?
I trust Nanocraft.
Out of all of our sponsors, who would make the best lube? Out of Active Skin Repair or Nanocraft CBD oil?
Or Wave Soda. Or Panic and Coffee.
Oh, my God.
I love Panic and Coffee so much, I don't think it would make the best lube.
I talked to someone that had a coffee enema. I'm not even joking.
Was it Panikin?
No, it wasn't Panikin.
Because you don't want to waste Panikin. You won't put Panikin in. You don't want it to be coming out.
Panikin only comes out. It doesn't go in. It goes in up top and comes out.
Yeah, as it should.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it's very effective. I used Active Skin Repair 3 times this weekend. Two for one was both my kids got sunburned.
What is up with
sorry?
You just like leave your kids in the sun.
No,
you're cutting them. Your chick is like burning to death.
My kids are just nuts. They got burnt. And that was on me. That's a bad dad move.
Burnt Reynolds.
Not super burnt, but burnt enough to where I had to spray and rub Active Skin Repair. It helped them.
Were they crying?
We had a scooter incident, a foot drag kind of thing.
With no shoes on?
No shoes on. Ugh. Sunday afternoon, foot drag, just road rash, ankle, some gel, Band-Aid, we're good. Active Skin Repair saving us there. And then brutal hangnail, honestly, because I bite my fingernails, unfortunately. Bit one, like did a deep rip, bleeding, stinging, put some gel on there, and voila.
Hangnails hurt the most. I get a gnarly paper cut the other day, and I mean, I think I would rather get stitches, like cut myself open, than get a freaking
paper
cut.
You'd rather cut your life in 2 pieces. This is my last piece of pizza. Paper cut. That can be saved. Solved. Salve and solved by the salve of Active Skin Repair.
Also can be used as a lube.
Yes. So back to your question. I believe Active Skin Repair would be the best.
Active
lubricant.
Relationship repair.
You know, just for
life lube. Yeah.
Life lube.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Did we just come up with another marketing catchphrase?
Active Life Lube.
Active Skin Repair. It's Life Lube. Wave Soda, again.
Delicious.
Had a bunch this weekend.
Politely caffeinated.
Yeah, I celebrated the tangerine and the grapefruit flavors this weekend. So
there you go.
I'm telling you, we put our money where our mouths are.
Panic and Coffee and Tea just came from there.
I've had 2.5 of them this morning.
Really?
I'm fired up. So that's kind of an organic way to display all of our sponsors.
We put our mouths where we eat.
Yeah.
What?
And speaking of that, skate news. We're going to get right into it. Skate news brought to you by Quincy Woodwrights, makers of the Folklore Project. Todd Richards was with the one and only Chris Pastris.
All weekend.
AKA Dune.
All weekend long. I was with a lot of people.
Chad Muska of the Folklore Project.
Nope. See, the Muska was sick.
But he was there.
For one day. And then he kind of got sick.
So you were still with him. I was just making a point that the Folklore Project.
Let me tell you who I was with.
Okay. Before you tell us who you were with, tell us where you were and then who you were with.
Hello, and welcome to Long Beach, California. This is the Dew Tour 2019 Men's and Women's Pro Park Final about to get underway.
You don't have to yell at me about it.
I was giving you the announcer voice. I just got back from the Dew Tour.
And boy, is his arms tired.
And
he's done it.
We were up there, and the Dew Tour this year... different because there's Olympic implications on the line.
This is a big time.
This is the first serious guy selection event for the Olympics. So this is how skateboarding going to the Olympics goes down. There's only 20 athletes that will be competing in skateboarding in Tokyo 2020. 20 athletes total from all the countries. Total. With a maximum of 3 athletes per country if you earn your spots.
Okay.
So there will be some countries that don't have any athletes represented because they didn't get the spots, but this was the first one, and it was a very competitive field.
Men's park and street, women's park and street.
Yes.
The four disciplines, I guess that are Olympic qualifiers.
Yep. And it was great. Let's just start. We'll start right away with
women's street.
I'm going to say women's street.
I have the results.
You got them right there. So... I don't know if you follow Street League. It's an interesting format. It's kind of, if you're a first timer, it's a little bit difficult to wrap your brain around the way things go. But when it all shook out, Pamela Rosa from Brazil took down Leticia Buffoni and Candy Jacobs. And it was a battle.
They were ripping.
They were ripping. And I forget what the girl's name is that's from New Mexico, from Albuquerque. But I wish I could remember her name right now. But she was shredding, but kind of rung her bell right before the final. But she was doing so good.
I could bring it up.
Can you bring it up? Know? Because I feel like I'm doing a serious disservice to Dew Tour right now by not saying.
No, you're fine.
What is it?
Here's the thing: you just talked
about it
days since Thursday. You're talking about it.
I've been talking a lot.
He's been talking about skateboarding.
Point being, Pamela Rosa,
Haley Wilson. Wow! In looking at the field here, got Brazil, Netherlands, USA, Japan, USA, USA. Cool to see Netherlands in there, and Brazil dominating street.
Brazil dominating street. But listen, let's move over to women's pro park.
Ooh.
This was the heaviest competition. I was so blown away by the skating that went down. The young girl, Masugu, that won, Masugu Okamoto, perfect 540, perfect nose grind, varial. She started her whole run with her board backwards, and she did, I think, 5 walls of good tricks, like a nose grind and all kinds of other stuff. Then did a varial on the extension that set her up for her 540. Perfect 540.
She rode the board backwards on purpose?
Yes. She dropped in, wow. And then halfway through her run, she varials it around. Now the board's facing the right way. 540, everything. Easy victory for her.
People might not grasp that in skateboarding...
It's hard to ride your board backwards.
We're all... At that level, even at our level,
it's weird. Your trucks are just by virtue of your weight being on your rear truck a lot. Your bushings are different.
Everything's different. The nose shape
is different. Like your kick is different. So she killed it.
The big surprise, though.
Big surprise.
And was Lizzie Armanto.
Armanto. But here's what I think. So Lizzie Armanto, representing Finland, going towards the Olympics. But she, I feel like she was rattled because there was three or four. I think there was four or five Japanese women in the final, and they were all so good.
Six
Japanese women in the final. And they're all so good.
Oh, they're all there. Any of the six Japanese skaters in that final could have won, and the two youngest of that crew won. And first and third.
And Kokona, she got third, and it was
10? No.
10.
She's 10.
10 years old, dude.
10 years old.
Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening was the Japanese contingency showed up, basically put every other country on notice. Like, this is what we're up to. We mean business. And Lizzie Armanto visibly was rattled.
Oh, yeah.
And she had to bring out the big guns. And even then, even if she did her best run, the Japanese skater has a 540 on lock. She's doing like crazy hard tricks.
Yeah.
Nose grind, standing on top of a nose grind, nollying in, like just really good tricks.
Beating, she was in first by nearly 10 points, which is a big spread in skateboarding.
You know, 10, it might as well have been 30. She was so far ahead in terms of like confidence. Every 540 she tried, she landed.
This is happening on the Vans Park series too.
Yeah.
Japanese women are coming through and they're just dominating with more numbers, and they're younger, and they're I don't know if it's well trained. I don't know if that's because they've just been putting in so much work. You can tell they have every trick done just perfectly on lock, and they all kind of have their own specialties.
But I'll tell you what,
it's crazy.
The thing sometimes the Japanese skaters can kind of fall into like quote unquote Japanese style, which is like it's robotic.
Yeah,
but
and you see that in snowboarding.
You do. See it in snowboarding too. But Misugu, she has an amazing style. Her feet are moving around on the board. She's got, you know, she's the future of the, she's going to blur the lines. Like, it's just, it's crazy how good she is. I had the most fun commentating the women's pro park.
Yeah. So I'm right there with you because that's,
it's great. And you get to do that in a week now in Brazil. And so you've got something to look forward to. I'm just giving you some foreshadowing. So then we move on to men's park.
Wait, can I just give a special shout out?
Yes.
Mommy's Smith Grinds.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a trick that I've battled that trick for 30 plus years.
Smith Grinds are easy, dude.
And the way she does them.
She just flexes her back leg
so up. So good. You can see a picture of her doing one on dutour.com.
It's also good. And they've all got backside tail slides. They've got sugar canes on lock. There's so many like, whoa. I didn't expect that. Like a lot of like woes.
Yeah.
So.
And they're getting better every event.
Seriously.
The whole women's field.
I mean, I just look from now until next summer when the Olympics actually happen, the leaps and bounds of the progression in women's park is going to be crazy. And
agreed.
I think it's really cool that these Japanese women are kind of like, they've upped the game and now everyone has to play catch up.
Yeah.
And so we're going to see an incredible show next year in Tokyo. Moving on to men's park. So.
Wait, do you want to save that for last?
Okay.
Okay, let's do men's street.
Okay, let's do men's street.
Because men's park, there's a good story. French skater taking the win.
And not only did he take the win, but he kind of was shoving it in Nigel's face a little bit.
What do you mean?
He was
Aurelien Girard.
He was on one yesterday.
France.
Stomping everything. Huge hard flip over the whole hard flip backside 180 actually over like half of the obstacles.
Oh yeah, he does that off 20-foot gaps.
It's like, crazy.
He's gnarly.
But it was like definitely it put Nigel on notice.
The top 3 of men's park or men's street is pretty wild.
I think the biggest move, Sora Shirai did the freaking craziest big flip backside 360. Board does a 540. He does a 360.
Down 8 stairs.
Down an 8 stair. It was the craziest lottery flip action I've ever seen in my life.
But he landed perfectly.
Landed perfectly. It's craziest thing ever.
That's a best trick contest winning move, and he did it in a run.
I think they call it like the Typhoon or something like that. Like it had like a name.
So gnarly.
But it just didn't look real. It was like some crazy Tony Hawk pro skater shit going on.
Another Japanese ripper. That's so new to the game. They don't even have a photo of him for his bio on the Dutour site. He's that unknown. I mean, he's known, but that unknown.
Japan is here to play, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, they ain't playing.
They ain't playing.
And then Felipe Gustavo. Who's a great comeback story.
Yep.
I actually watched him break his ankle 2 years ago, I think. Three years ago. It's horrible. I hate seeing that. But to see him fight back and get back, and I mean, the top three right there, no one, you would have never called that top three.
Uh-huh.
We're talking...
Well, because Nigel was skating super, super good.
Yeah, Nigel won the semis.
I'll tell you what. When that final started, you could kind of tell that
Nigel had maybe peaked?
No, not that peaked, but I think that Aurelien just took his thunder.
Right.
Landed some stuff, and you could... It's kind of like how Kelly does that to people. Like, siphons off their energy.
It's momentum.
Yes.
Yeah, you see it in... I mean, every basketball, yeah, you see every... Like, you see a momentum shift, and you felt that watching Aurelien.
You felt it, and you could feel like Nigel kind of just didn't do anything. Switch. It just felt like he was like, okay, well, it's not going to happen today, so I'm not even going to try. Like, Aurelien had his moment.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome.
And it was insane. So then
I love underdog story.
Underdog story for sure. But that's, I mean, there's a lot of foreshadowing to what's going to happen over the next year going into the Olympics. You know, it's not just going to be Nigel's medal to take. There are other people that are there.
Gustavo Ribeiro, Kelvin Hoffler, we know him. Matt Berger coming back. Jake Ilardi.
Ilardi.
He was ripping. Dagger Eaton. Had a solid start, TJ Rogers. Some big names.
There's
still
some big names that went down. Chaz Ortiz too was ripping in the qualifiers, but just, you know, didn't show up when he needed to.
Napoleon blown apart.
Blown apart.
Now we go to, I would say, I mean, in terms of high flying, high speed action. For real though, men's park final.
So men's park final. Well. Myself and Paul Zitzer commentated all weekend, and we were...
That must be pretty cool. Sit next to a legend like that.
It's pretty fun. You know, we have a good time doing it. Vert legend. Birdhouse team rider.
Great skater.
Just whatever.
Great facial hair.
He's got great facial hair.
Yeah.
It's like the Larry David of skateboarding.
He uses those big words.
It was really fun to do that with him, but... The judging was a little... We were thinking it was a little questionable coming up into the main event. You know, we lost...
Through the semis?
Yeah, we lost some pretty heavy hitters early on. And Tristan Rennie was out. We lost him early on.
Sorgente in 14?
Yeah, Alex Sorgente. Those were the two. Alex Sorgente and Tristan Rennie. Like, those guys bowed out really early.
Right.
And... We were kind of baffled because it wasn't like they didn't have really good runs. Just for some reason, whatever they were doing wasn't really speaking to the judges. And we spent an entire qualifying day trying to figure out what the hell the judges were looking for.
All right.
So that was, moving right along.
That would be Saturday.
That's Saturday.
And then Sunday.
Sunday's the main event. So the main event comes around and straight away... to set the table, Jaime Mathieu he's out of Spain, who is crazy, dude. Yeah. He's straight up nuts. He was doing this line that he would nollie backside 180 off of the top of like the platform over into the round bowl. No one had any business even trying that trick. That's what qualified him into the finals. He slammed so hard. He tried to kickflip Melon from outside of the park. Into the park, like kind of like one of those little ramps,
bump over and in.
Didn't get his hand on his board. Board was kind of near his feet. Tried to go in, and just like it was like a wet sack of meat into the cement.
Oh,
so he just got buckled.
Wet meat sack.
Wet meat sack. So I mean, that just set the bar right there. But everyone had really good runs. Haimana had really good runs. He would have done significantly better had he landed the 360 flip tail grab at the end of his run, because everything other than that was perfect. Ivan Federico bailed a kickflip melon backside nose blunt on one of the flat bank extensions. If he had landed that, he would have done a lot better.
Cray.
Luis Francisco.
Your kid's a Terminator.
He's a Terminator. He's really good. Brazilian powerhouse. But unfortunately for him, a couple falls kind of didn't put him in the right spot. Keegan Palmer, his first run was really, really good. He didn't land his second and third runs, but his first one was good enough to hold up through the entire event. And it brings us to the two people that...
Hold on. Fidget Spinner, now Fortnite.
Fidget now Spinner, Fortnite, Keegan Palmer. Keegan Palmer.
He's made the transition all the way from Fidget Spinner to...
I'm sure
Keegan Palmer.
He might still fidget spin.
I'm sure. You know he's still Fortnite.
Of course, they all Fortnite.
Sorry,
so anyways,
go ahead.
So that brings us to the main event, which was Corey Junot up against Pedro Barros.
And the showdown.
Two completely different styles of riding the bull. Corey Junot, very early on in the round, set the bar really high. Big frontside kickflip on one of the banks. Then your typical Corey Junot frontside slider around, like way too far around the corner, like frontside pivots to fakie, just crazy Corey Junot stuff that only Corey Junot can do.
He had the one ollie literally 4 feet out,
yeah,
into back nose,
yeah,
blunt.
Yeah, that's just like, I think we're used to that now, but it's such a crazy,
it's
move.
So jarring.
Giant backside ollie to nose blunt fast.
It should not be possible.
Nope, he did that, and then he did, geez, what else did he do? Just... like frontside blunt slide in the, like, so it's, he did a lot of crazy moves and that put him in the lead. And then it came down to the final run for Pedro Barros, which
the Dro show,
the, yeah, Pedro show. And I was like on the broadcast, I'm like, it's like you've starved a pit bull and beat him with a stick and put, yeah, him in a corner, and now he's ready to, and we kept the whole thing all weekend long with Paul and I was like, the Brazilians are just starved in this bowl. It's a bowl of meat and the Brazilians want to eat. Like, that was the whole thing. And Pedro came in typical Pedro fashion and just kind of bashed it out. You know, he forced it.
Multiple 540s.
Couple different 540s. Big Melon 540, Indy 540 towards the end of his run. He kind of had some slow... I think this bowl didn't really suit Pedro because he couldn't go as big as he wanted to, but still managed to click off like a monster-sized frontside air. Had some transfers, ended his run off with a switch backside disaster, wrong way drifting air to, yeah, fakies that are really cool.
He's the ultimate power skater.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about this win is it kind of seems to have leveled the field a little bit, because Pedro lately has been getting beat by technical tricks.
Yeah.
When he's going as big as he can possibly go, bigger than anybody by 2 to 3 feet, we're talking on, yeah, his airs.
Still was.
And I think it's cool that power skating was rewarded at Dew Tour. So congrats, Pedro Barros.
Congrats to Pedro Barros, and he killed it. And, you know, it's a real eye-opener to these different countries and this showdown between... I mean, Japan still doesn't really have someone in park. They've got someone in street on the women's side and the men's side. And they've got someone in. They've got someone that's going to show up here in park, but they just haven't peaked yet. You know, I saw Ayumu Hirano. He skated, but right now, you know, Yuto Hiragome is the best guy in park.
Ayumi Hirano, interestingly enough, in his bio picture on the Dew Tour site, is in his snowboarding gear.
Yeah, Ayumu just needs to go home and practice. And I think that Ayumu wasn't really ready for the snake sessions in the practice rounds.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Because it was brutal. I mean, you're in a snake session with Corey Junot, and these guys are very well versed in, like...
Oh yeah, you're not getting it wrong.
You know, you're doing a train through the thing.
That's I saw that happen to Sean White.
Yeah, exact same thing.
Where
you got to be aggressive. Up, yeah, got to be aggressive.
Well, in Sean's defense, he had one of the worst slams in the history of skateboarding. it was different. It was a doubles run, but still colliding with someone.
He smashed really into somebody pretty hard, huh?
Bob Burnquist.
Oh, that was a long time ago though. Well, I saw that. I was on the deck when that happened.
Wouldn't a slam like that stay with you? yeah, for your whole life. So that was your due tour wrap up.
I don't think Sean remembers that. I don't know how he would remember that slam.
Anything else notable from due tour? Warren G regulated the place.
I didn't hang out with
you. You weren't dancing.
I wasn't Warren G-ing.
I thought I saw you dancing to Warren G on the side of the stage. Wasn't you?
Wouldn't me.
Booty shorts.
Wouldn't me.
Twerking. That was not you.
Me. Nope.
It must have been Paul.
Paul.
In a pink due tour shirt with booty shorts.
True.
That wasn't you.
Nope.
Love Letters to Brazil is up. It is live. It is one of the best episodes of Love Letters to Skateboarding ever made.
Really?
Jeff Grosso and the crew went down to Brazil for 8 days and came back with a treasure trove of Brazilian skateboarding history, which you think you know, you have no idea, because it was as if skateboarding lived in a vacuum. They had to make their own, because they couldn't get our products, so they had to make their own companies. They had their own scene, and just, I mean, it shows you, it really shows, gives you kind of the roadmap as to how we got here with Brazilian skateboarding, how gnarly they are. And it's a great episode. It's what, 14 minutes, 18 minutes, and it's perfect timing. This was built just in time to get us fired up for the Vans Park Series event that's happening in São Paulo, Brazil. I'll be there. I'm going to Brazil.
When do you leave? Wednesday?
Wednesday night. And I will be there for that event. And then straight from São Paulo, I'm going to Rio to finish the second half of the Oi Rio Pro.
So we're
going surf skate tour.
So We're going on vacation. We're going on how many days?
Well,
many,
because we have Mondays. Our 100th episode coming up, so we got to kind of, you know,
build it,
tease them a little bit.
Oh.
So who knows?
How
maybe
many,
we'll
how
be
many
able
Mondays
to record
do we
some
miss?
Stuff.
Two Mondays?
Two Mondays, at least, yeah.
Ugh, you people are going to be desperate.
I don't know what people are going to do. They're just going to have to wait.
It's just like Game of Thrones.
Imagine if Game of Thrones just went ahead and took 2 weeks off in the middle of it. People would freak. That's what's going to happen to us. Some cool collaboration news. These kind of just came out of the woodwork. Actually, I saw them on Bordestan, so thank you, Bordestan. Metallica and Dogtown have done a collaboration that's insane. Jim Red Dog Muir, of course, the art, designed, board shape, airbrush, the vibe is amazing. Teaming up with Professor Schmidt at Schmidt Sticks. The graphic was perfectly kind of blended and created by Sean Cliver, the legend. Mm. Silkscreen the old-fashioned way by Chicken, Screaming Squeegees. There's t-shirts, there's skateboards, collector's items. They're epic. I love anything Dogtown does. I love anything Jim Muir does. Also, this one is super random.
Oh, wait, I just thought of something.
But this is kind of blending into nerd news.
Okay.
Habitat Skateboards just released a full series of decks inspired by Twin Peaks, the classic
Laura Palmer
sketch TV show. One of them has Laura Palmer. There's the sign on one. So those
bridge.
Are not more collector's items.
Want to hear some fucking crazy shit?
Yes.
Okay, so
I do.
I went to a rally school. It's called Dirt Fish Rally. It's outside of Seattle. And that's where they filmed Twin Peaks.
No
like
way.
Literally on the property of Dirt Fish Rally is where they filmed Twin Peaks. And there's all these iconic, like the bridge.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really cool.
And now on a scale of 1 to 10, how nerdy is going to rally school?
Not that nerdy. It's fucking fun as shit, dude.
But
it's like going
inherently nerdy.
It's like going, well, no, it's like going to go-karts, but like it's big boy go-karts.
So nerdy.
It's not that nerdy.
But I'm saying in a compliment.
Well, I guess. I mean, you learn how to like, I guess it's nerdy.
Drift.
You get to, well, you learn how to left foot brake and weight balance and weight transfer in a car. It's
I
useful
say nerdy
shit.
In the most discerning
it's,
way.
It's
like,
really
it's
fun.
Awesomely nerdy.
It's really fun. Oh, here's what I saw at Dutour. One more thing. Ty Evans following Nigel Houston around.
Ooh,
I
guess doc alert.
I guess there's going to be some kind of a documentary thing.
Was Ty Evans also in biker shorts and a oversized tank top?
No.
Was Nyjah?
Yes.
All right.
Nyjah may or may not have had yoga pants on.
It, you know what? And to me, again, I've said this before, flip it. That makes him the most punk rock because he's rocking whatever he wants and not caring what any of us think. I think it's great.
You can't.
I'm not wearing it, but I love that he is.
But I do. Here's I don't really have a problem with it. You can wear whatever you want because skateboarding's fucking
If you have a problem with it, there's something wrong with
it. But
you.
There's it's just inherently weird to see people wearing, like, I don't know. There kind of used to be like a skateboard wardrobe, sort of.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of yoga pants and booty shorts are new to me. It takes me a little bit to adjust to that.
I've adjusted to it.
It's just like jockboarding.
I'm with it.
I don't know.
That was skateboarding news.
Skateboarding news was pretty cool this week.
Yeah. Oh, and I got to thank my friend Tim Swart. Man, you know how excited we were getting about dirtboarding?
Mm.
He got me some dirtboard wheels, and I set it up this weekend, and we had a blast.
Dirtboarding.
Dirtboarding is very hot right now.
All right.
Surf News is brought to you by Chemistry Surfboards again.
Chemistry Surfboards, and if you would
Via Todd, yeah.
Yeah, if you would, what?
I was going to say, as an added bonus to our the podcast sponsorship from Chemistry Surfboards, Todd's added that he will paint your board for you if you order it now, today.
That's right. If you type in Monday Mass, I don't know, wherever you would order it, or if you call up Chemistry and say Monday Mass, I will come in and paint your surfboard.
If you call Chemistry and say, is Monday Mass there? That's the secret code.
Yeah.
They might not know what you're talking about, but you just explain to them.
It is the porno password. So, anyway, so we're almost coming up on the deadline here for the Chemistry Design Your Chem board.
I just looked at that.
I forget. What is it called again, the contest?
I'm going to open it.
But the deal is if you've got, if you have a crazy design for a surfboard and you've been wondering where it's going to get made, well, you can submit it to Chemistry, and Jason will look at all the different ideas that are submitted there, and they will pick a winner on July 4th. And if you have a design that is worthy, it will be made and incorporated into the line at Chemistry.
Love it.
What is? Did you find it? There's an official name for it.
Oh, I was watching some
modeling
videos.
I thought you were finding
it. I am. It. Now I am.
Find it.
Chemistry Surfboards presents the... Oh, man. Now I lost it.
Really?
Oh, here it is.
What?
Create My Chem.
Create My Chem.
And it's just what you said. Follow Chemistry Surfboards on Instagram. Download, print the Create My Chem contest. What are you listening to now?
Nothing. I was listening to...
jeez, we're in the middle of a podcast.
Well, I was listening to Heymana's Run, kind of.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Maybe do that on your own time. Not these people's times.
Surely I'm here and you're here, so this is our time.
Surf News is...
brought to you by...
We already did that.
Yep.
Yeah, so in Surf News, it's pretty exciting because we're going into the Oi Rio Pro. John Florence is in the top spot. Kolohe Andino's in the second place spot. And, you know, I've been talking about this on WSL Surf Breaks, a show that I've been hosting
rare reviews.
Rare, I say rare reviews because normally when I post something, a lot of people hate it. But a lot of people like this.
Really?
Yeah. It's probably because, you know, it's...
You do look a little stiff.
But you know what? I've also been told that I'm moving too much and making people sick.
Really?
Yeah.
You're creating vertigo?
So I'm trying to get somewhere in the middle.
It seems like... here's my critique.
Give me your constructive criticism.
Constructive criticism. It seems like you're trying to get a lot of information out really quickly.
Which I am.
And the way that you're doing that is by being very upright and very like, I need to get this fucking information out.
Upright Citizen Brigade.
Yeah, upright Information Brigade.
Okay, you so like you're that? Talking about the information.
Yeah, do you feel
but
like
not you're... the hand gestures?
No, I didn't notice the hand gestures.
Okay,
do you feel like
people...
you're talking really fast?
Yeah, well, I think what we're trying to... I'm a producer on the show, which is exciting.
What if you just duct taped your hands to your side?
Yeah, the news, WSL Surf Breaks is basically meant to be a one-stop shop where, you know, God forbid somebody doesn't have time to sit on Instagram all day like we do. They can watch this and go, okay, cool, that's what's happening in surf. And it's supposed to be a minute and a half to 2 minutes.
Each show.
Yeah. And I want to welcome one of our homies, Oliver Kurtz, is a producer on the show as well.
What? How did that
happen?
Yeah,
he got a big boy job.
A producer?
He's a producer on the show.
Oliver Kurtz.
Yes.
What is he producing?
He's producing the show. There's 4 to 6 producers on the show.
I love Oliver.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. as you can see by what you're watching.
Does he actually talk?
No, we don't let him talk.
No, he just like writes.
He, you know, gathers, curates news, helps write scripts.
Okay.
Gets on my ass to get the stuff in on time.
Really?
I'm not in the studio.
Oliver is sending you like emails like
texts.
Chris, we need this
he's
shit
like,
now.
Get it. Wow. Well, he's saying, you know, you messed that take up, do it again.
You know, Ika,
and I do it again.
Ika needs a job.
Ika Backstrom?
Yeah.
What if we do something snow breaks? He could be a producer.
Yeah.
We could take over the world, Todd.
Why don't we just take well then we're gonna have time for this?
This takes precedence because this is our bread and
this
butter.
This is our big money maker.
This is how Todd gets deals on chemistry boards, and this is how I get free wave soda. So.
Sick.
Anyway. Yeah, so what we're kind of starting to see develop is pretty cool. This rivalry between Kolohe and John. They've been surfing together since they were kids. They're coming into the Oirio Pro 1 and 2. They've already had some epic battles this year in heats.
Mm-hmm.
So we're fanning the fire on that a little bit, you know, today on WSL Surf Breaks.
Can we address something?
Yeah.
What the fuck is up with John's weird, like, Grayson Fletcher starter kit?
Neck beard?
Neck goatee thing.
That's a good question. I thought when he got that haircut that he was going to address the neck situation beard-wise.
I mean, look.
Would you...
It's fucking weird looking.
Would you be down with it if you could surf that good?
Well, yeah.
Okay. So whatever works.
But that's in a fantasy land.
But do you have a fantasy surfing team?
No.
You like
I don't
real?
I don't like fantasy.
I like fantasy. And I'll give you, you know what? We lost our fantasy.
Is there fantasy skate teams?
We lost our fantasy guy.
Who?
He was from Surf Stats.
Oh, yeah, fantasy
we
man.
Just... I just kind of maybe I haven't been pressing him hard enough for
fantasy
information.
Guy? Is it really that important?
Fantasy it's
surfing?
Kind of fun.
Can't we just focus on
it's
real,
a way to
real surfing?
So my fantasy team is called 540 540 540 360 question mark.
Wait, that's the name of your.
That's the name of my team. My league is called the Lot Trolls.
Sick.
And my picks.
How are you doing? How are you doing so far?
How am I doing so far? So I'm in a league called Lot Trolls, like I said, and I'm ranked 19,616th in the world. Top 20,000.
Top 20,000. I mean, there's a lot of people in the world, Chris. Not that bad.
My league rank is 20th. Oh, wait. No. Yeah, so I'm in a league. I think I'm ranked pretty low right now in my league. It's a bunch of dudes from... the
Seaside.
Lot, parking lot at Seaside. My picks. Here's my picks. I use no other logic other than these are the people that I want to watch, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what the hell just happened? Is this my picks? John, Italo, Kelly, Gabriel, Julian, Wade Carmichael, Jesse Mendez, and Griffin Colapinto. That's my team.
Did you see the, what's the guy's name?
World Surfboarding League?
Yep, with Italo. Suck my dick! Like he flies out the top of the wave. Did you see that?
No.
It's the guy from Malibu who does all the voices.
Let's pull
what's
it
that,
up.
What's that guy's name?
Let's pull it up.
But it's not World Surfboard League. It's the guy who does the voices from Malibu.
Oh.
What's his name? You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
What is his name? We could get him on the show. I feel like he could come on here.
I helped discover him.
What is his name?
God, now you put me on the spot.
What, World Surf Lol?
Sometimes you put me on the spot here and...
Who was it?
World Claim League?
No.
World Surfboarding League.
But who was the guy? What the fuck is his name? I forget his name. He's Chad? No.
No, dude, we're blowing it so hard. Should I just hit pause? Let's hit pause.
All right, hit pause.
Told you, it was Tyler Allen VO, dude. Are you finding it right now?
No.
Tyler Allen VO. One of the best dudes out. He has one from 6 days ago.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Here, listen to it.
Beauty! area you're about to pull into, right here you can see the foam ball where all that pressure and tension and power is just building up inside, and it's just ready to unload, and right when you pull out, the thing is just spewing froth of fog. Gosh, mate, I've got to ask you, what were you doing this morning to prepare for your heat?
Oh, yeah, I was listening to the Brazilian fart fetish.
Oh, muito prazer! Muito bom, porra!
Yeah, it just felt so good just to tell everyone to just suck my cock.
I kind of listened to it at Tyler Allen, the dude's been doing it for a minute, and he gets better and better. Love you, Tyler.
So funny. I can't get enough of World Surfboarding League and Tyler Allen. It's just the best thing ever.
It was International Surfing Day over the weekend. Did you paddle out for International Surfing Day?
I do tour.
Oh, you were International Do Touring Day. Yeah. Well, there was paddle outs all over the world.
Everywhere.
I paddled out, but I was on a raft. Does that negate my duty as a surfer to have paddled out?
You were touching water.
Yeah.
Were there waves here this weekend?
I bought a raft. There's no waves. There was little waves. I bought a raft. You know, from a sporting goods store, and of course, we use it for 20 minutes and pop. No, don't buy a raft. Now I just made trash. I defeated the purpose of International Surfing Day by making trash. So I'm sorry. You have any other surf news? I'm
trying to think. I mean, we've got...
We have a lot of surf news that's going to be coming up.
I am going next week. I leave on Thursday to go to Waco again.
Are you going
to
get high?
Mm-hmm.
It's official. You're not just high. You weren't just invited and then disinvited.
Nope. My plane ticket showed up today.
You have a ticket.
I have a ticket.
Okay. Finally, someone at Stab High is going to know what a trick is called.
And I get to surf on Sunday morning.
Lucky.
Lucky.
Hate you.
It's going to be sick.
I get to surf in real waves, bro.
What, your secret?
I wasn't in
your secret point break
in
Brazil.
Invited Stab High.
Your secret point break in Brazil.
I couldn't go anyway.
They asked me who I wanted to help.
I can't go.
And you weren't going to be available.
Thanks for offering.
Also, they said no.
Yeah, they knew I was busy.
They didn't say no. I'm just kidding.
They knew I was busy. So that's probably why they didn't ask me. They knew that I was already spoken for.
Right.
Yeah, that's got to be.
But I think. From what I
not because they don't like me, right? They like me.
Sam said it's going to be me and Bobby Martinez and me and Dane Reynolds, which already
you and Dane will be sick.
I don't know. Dane doesn't like Dane's rat. Like when you have conversations with Dane, he needs to have some beers.
You're going
to
argue with Bobby.
I'm just going to let Bobby talk.
He's going to be like, I don't know. I don't know what that was. That was stupid.
Who fucking cares?
Who is this? I don't know who this is.
I just wish they'd put. I wish they'd put Todd. Freaking
Todd Falcon?
Todd Falcon? Todd Klein. Remember the Todd Klein interview with Bobby Martinez? The greatest interview that's ever happened?
I gotta say though, Eddie Wall did a great job last year.
I think Eddie might show up too.
Okay. I just think this is gonna sound super nerdy. I just think at least one person there needs to be on our side and know what airs are called.
Hello.
Thank you.
Ding dong.
And they need to know that it's a varial if you grab your board and it's a shove it if you don't.
True that.
Things you know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for representing the 1% of us that are highly nerding out.
I just want to go surf the fucking pool again because our Southern California summer is
it's blown.
It's a fucking hoax, dude.
It sucks.
What else?
So that being said, when we come back, we're going to have a lot of surf news to talk about.
Maybe the sun will be out by then.
Maybe. I'll be at the Oi Rio Pro for the last 5 days of the broadcast.
What?
Lucky you.
What hotel are you staying at?
In where?
In the Oi Rio Pro.
I'm not telling you that.
Well, it's going to give the fan, if you would like to stab Chris and steal his wallet while he's crossing the street to the Oi Rio Pro.
We'll get to that in nerd news.
Stabbing?
Do you have any snowboarding news?
No.
We don't have to talk about that.
Well, the rat race is coming up at Mount Hood pretty soon. But
that'll be fun.
Whatever.
Do you want to talk about nerd news?
Yeah.
So Nerd News is brought to you by Panikin Coffee and Tea. We love Panikin Coffee and Tea. That's just obvious. Joy Division celebrated a birthday this weekend. 40 years of the classic seminal album, Unknown Pleasures.
What do you think the percentage is of people wearing Unknown Pleasures shirts and not even knowing what the fuck it is they're wearing?
87%.
I would say so as well.
Yeah. Just by wearing that shirt. I have that shirt, and it's old, but I just don't wear it because it's...
Yeah, it's like a thing.
It's kind of corny. It's like a Misfit shirt, which I love kinda. The Misfits.
It is like a Misfit shirt.
And a lot of times you see someone in a Misfit shirt, and you're like,
dude... Oh, cool skull, bro.
You just got that 2 days ago. And I'm not saying that... I'm saying...
I did see something the other day I thought was pretty cool, and I don't know if it was like a new vintage shirt, but there was a younger kid wearing a Black Flag shirt.
Okay.
Like the fade to black, the one with like the shears on it. And it looked like an older shirt, but I can't tell if it was like a Hot Topic older shirt.
Yeah.
I'd like to believe that it was an older Black Flag shirt that maybe his dad gave him.
You can believe in whatever you want to believe.
Believe that.
So there's two kind of shocking things that came from Twitter this weekend.
Oh, really? Just two?
Murderer O.J. Simpson now has a Twitter account. Which is interesting.
The juice is loose on Twitter?
Yeah, the juice is loose on Twitter, and it's super sketchy. I don't know how it happened, but it's sketchy. And Bill Cosby...
Oh, didn't he say he got some getting even today
He announced his reign of terror on Twitter by saying, I got some getting even to do.
Twitter revenge.
Sketch.
I'm going to fucking straight murder some fools on Twitter.
Yeah. And also, Bill Cosby tweeted from jail... saying, I'm still America's dad. Quote, I'm still America's dad. And at first thing I thought, I'm like, it's actually kind of fitting for America right now.
Yeah,
he's
100% America's dad right now. America's
he's not my dad.
Stepdad.
To be honest. Yeah, both those guys.
Not cool.
Should not be on Twitter.
There's a few people that shouldn't be on Twitter.
80% of Twitter should not be on Twitter, including me.
Yeah.
Like, it just upsets
are you
me.
On Twitter?
Oh, yeah. Chris Cote Show.
Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah,
it's a short-lived, not so much remembered project show.
I think you're like one of the only people that like my
I like
Twitter
yours,
posts.
You like mine. Yeah, I like show you yours, you show me mine.
Yeah.
On Tuesday morning,
okay,
Alex Honnold... and Brad Gobright successfully completed the second ever free ascent of El Niño.
Niño.
It's a route on El Capitan. They began at 4 p.m. on Monday afternoon, and 14 hours later, they got to the top.
Just climbing.
It's a three pitch Pineapple Express variation. So, do you know what any of that means?
No. I mean, I don't understand the point of climbing.
To get from the bottom to the top.
Yeah, but like...
It's easy.
We've evolved past that.
No, we haven't.
Sure we have.
We've evolved all the way to the bare necessity. Cavemen used to climb with no ropes.
That's right. Cavemen used to climb
with
no ropes.
And they were badass.
Now we have helicopters.
Alex Honnold and Brad Gobright are...
We could just fly.
They deserve a VIP helicopter ride from the top back down after what they did. Free solo is one of the heaviest things I've ever
seen.
It is
cool. I'm just talking shit. I don't rock climb because I don't have...
Because you're scared.
...enough energy.
Or...
Desire.
...balls.
True.
Happy birthday, Boy George.
Boy George's birthday?
Yeah. I love him.
What's
The Crying Game is my favorite Boy George song.
That is?
Yeah. I know, right? You would think it would be Karma Chameleon,
Do You Really
Want to? Tumble
For Ya. Do You Really Want to Hurt Me?
Do You Really Want to... You would think, right?
Right.
Crying Game.
You know, I
cried to that song in the shower many times.
You know, I was listening to the other day in the car.
Yeah,
Milli Vanilli.
Yeah.
Baby.
Oh, Don't Forget My Number. So, kind of a B side.
But
it was
not
a hit.
It's not even like a really good song. So, like, I'm like, why couldn't they have just sang that?
Because
they
lip sync.
But it's like you listen to that kind of '80s music, and it's. Like, anyone could have done it.
Yeah. Oh.
What is it?
I'm late to the party on this. Just finishing up a podcast called Root of Evil about the Black Dahlia murder. It is the most tweaked thing I've ever heard in my life.
I don't even know what that is.
It's not safe for work, Todd.
Murders?
Even though you don't work. I mean, you do work, but you don't have, like, an office job.
I work on my tan.
So that's kind of nerdy, and I've been turning people on to that.
Comic-Con is coming.
Comic-Con is coming, and we're going.
Well,
can I go?
I'm going.
You're probably going to bring one of your family members.
Why don't you bring your kid or something stupid?
Why don't you bring
no,
a family member?
We're going to go.
All right, we're going.
But we got to come up with costumes. What would you go as?
I'm going to go as Freddie Mercury.
Really? That's not even like a... You're going to cosplay as Freddie Mercury?
Yeah. Or Freddie Mercury zombie makeup, and
boring.
I'll be Deddy Mercury.
Ooh, that's pretty hot.
Yeah?
That's some hype.
Now you're thinking. All right.
I'm going to go as Jeffrey Dahmer.
It's a pretty good podcast for not having any preparation or notes, right?
I didn't have any prep. But what about... Are we going to get...
Preparation H. What?
On the whole...
I mean...
Would you say Preparation H on the whole?
Oh, my gosh.
We got to get to our callers.
Now is the time everyone's been waiting for. This is where we answer...
How many did you get?
Your questions.
Did you get...
I got a couple good ones here.
You got multiples.
Multiples. The first one is... Should I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay, I'll go first. This is from Adam Et Zart. And this guy's a longtime listener. He's rad. He wants to ask, well, we already, he has two questions. One of them was, who do you think will win the Stab High? And what is your and Todd's favorite all-time skateboard graphic? So let's start with Stab High. Who's going to win Stab High?
I would love it if Mason Ho did.
Mason Ho, I'm going Chippa.
Who won last year? Oh, Noah Dean.
Yeah. I'm going Chippa. Just I love
okay.
Chippa.
All right.
So I'm saying Chippa. You say Mason Ho?
Yeah, I say Mason
Ho. Okay. What's your all-time favorite skateboard graphic?
Favorite skateboard graphic of all time? Santa Cruz, Mickey Alba.
With
all the little characters and creatures. It said Malba on the bottom.
Oh.
And there was like all kinds of like little creatures on there.
All right. Well, I'm
actually, anything that... what's that artist?
Sean Cliver?
Yeah. No, not is that Cliver? That's not Cliver.
Mark Pensa?
Who's the guy who did all like the screaming hand and shit? Same artist. You know what? Jeff Kendall's graphic with the pumpkin.
Oh, that was a good one.
That was a fucking good one, dude. And also, I think Santa Cruz in general had like some of the best graphics.
Love the Rob Roscoe series. I'm going to go, and this is kind of, so can I do two?
Yeah.
So the original Dune baby sitting board, I looked at that thing on the wall at McGill Skate Shop for years. Probably, I would say literally 8 months, and right. I had to wait. I didn't have any money. I had to wait until it went into the bargain, you know, because they would take it from the wall and put it on the stack on the ground, like 20% off.
It's all warped.
That's when I bought it.
It's all warped and shit.
And now I'm friends with Dune, which
That's
is crazy.
So weird.
Also, I got to say, the original McGill graphic.
All those Powell graphics.
With the snake.
The Stessic graphics in the beginning were all, I mean, not Stessic, but is it Stessic? No. Who did all those graphics? The fuck is his name? Stessic did the original Rap Bones.
I have the book of all the graphics.
C.R.
Stessic is his name.
Who's the guy who did all the... I forget his name. Fuck. It's right there.
Well, that's, I mean...
Super blown. Anyways.
So that was... That's our answer to your question.
All those old Powell graphics were so good.
Agreed.
I have one.
Yeah.
It comes from... P.A. Jetski, or Pajetski, he asks, is Wrecking Ball going too far with the Manny shaming, or no?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
It's hilarious.
Go further.
Oh, I know Pat. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Wrecking Ball started the Manny shaming on his hit series, Manny Busters, and he has actually changed... skateboarding. He has become a phenomenon because I've heard professional skateboarders
don't want to get whacked,
some of the best saying, I got to do that again, I don't want to get whacked. So he's cleaned up skateboarding. Sometimes he's comes off as kind of a dick.
It's great. Did you see, I told you about that Mickey Papa thing where
he
just gets angry.
I'm a huge Wrecking Ball fan.
Yeah, I am too.
I'll come right out. I watch all his, I've actually even like messaged him.
Really?
I'm a grown up, and like, I messaged him like,
"You
want to
sleep over?
Dude, I'm a big fan." Guys, so lame.
You want to go eat?
Oh, I'm a big fan, dude.
Want to go protein up? Later?
I love you, man. I got one from Rhino 858. says, mass question, who would you rather hang out and surf with, Nathan or Christian Fletcher, for a day?
Nate.
I've actually had the chance to do both, and they're both interesting in many different ways. If you're asking me today, you were quick to that one, Nate. If you're asking me today, I'm going to say I've hung out with Nathan a lot more recently, and I haven't hung out with Christian in a while. I have a lot of good Christian Fletcher stories, and I want more. Mm. I'm going to say Christian. Good
they're
question,
both, they're
Rhino.
They're both so interesting.
Yeah, they're just
Nader's awesome. The best. You have any more?
Yeah, this is from Smith Brandon _999.
I got one.
This question is for you.
Oh.
It says, can you ask Todd about how he saw the Olympics change snowboarding and how he thinks it's going to change skateboarding?
Well, I think in the way that it changed snowboarding was it created this whole coach culture. I think, you know, in some ways, the Olympics kind of created jockboarding in snowboarding, where these people are owned. Like, we used to have a lot of people that competed in both slopestyle and halfpipe, but now
they're only dedicated to one discipline.
Yeah. It's you got to be like a warrior. It went from being like kind of just like an attitude / lifestyle / outlet to try skate tricks on the snow to like a straight up like protein shake.
Yeah.
3 hours in the gym every day. I am out here to fucking stack gold.
Do you think how much did snowboarding progress after the Olympics?
It did. Well,
it got way more technical.
It did, but that was in 1998 when I went, like from 1998 to 2002, it didn't progress anything because the Olympic format back then was two runs combined. So you were working on one run that you could land in your sleep.
Right.
And then when it went to best of two or best of three runs, that's when it opened up the progression so you could try shit.
Right. Because you didn't have to.
There was an explosion of progression after 98 because everyone, it was like a gigantic exhale within the sport and it brought a lot of creativity. But the way that I see it impacting skating is, first and foremost, there's always going to be skaters that skate and that don't want to compete and they want to have nothing to do with it. And Thrasher's not going anywhere. This isn't going to do anything to the but there will be jock skaters.
Yeah.
Skate jocks. We already have those. Nige is a prime example of a skate jock. He's a contest jock. You're just going to see more of that.
And I don't think that's bad.
No, it's not bad.
Because these guys are superheroes and they back up whatever jockiness they have with how good they are.
It's just gonna bring a lot of attention to the sport. You know, the Olympics and NBC in particular are really good about creating heroes and household names. Depending on who gets picked for the U.S. to represent in Park, I think Nige is pretty much a shoo-in for Street. Chris Jocelyn or you know. One of those other kids.
Yeah, but Park will be interesting.
There's a lot of names, but Street will be interesting. Park, Tom Schaar, Sorgente,
Corey Juno.
Corey Juno. Corey Juno will be like Danny Cass was in snowboarding.
Yeah,
the
bad boy,
the reluctant hero, the bad boy,
bad boy.
This is just another contest. Nobody this isn't going to change me. I'm going to change the Olympics.
Nobody gets more chicks than the Olympic bad boys.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Or dudes, whatever.
So I don't.
Okay, that was a great answer, Todd.
Yeah, it'll change.
That
it.
Was a real question.
Yeah. I'll answer real questions. I don't give a shit.
Well, I hope these. We got to do this every week.
Come
this
at me, bro. Well, we need to get people to ask the damn questions.
I have another one. Good, Wise, and Wonderful says, what sports do you consider, for both of us, what sports do you consider to be action sports and why? The definitions online are all over the map. Britannica defines it as extreme sports, also known as action sports or alternative sports, characterized by high speeds and high risk. Commonly placed in this group are skateboarding, snowboarding, freestyle skiing, inline roller skating, street lugeing, BMX, and mountain biking. So the question is, what is action sports to you? And we've chewed on this a lot. This is not the term that we like to use, but it's the most simple term to describe surfing, skating, and snowboarding.
Right. And I think, like, you know, you bring anything into that, whether it's thinking out like any sport that's outside of stick and ball. You know what I mean?
Say that again.
Stick and ball. I just think it's any adrenaline sport where it's like, whether it be drifting or even rally racing or
shit.
Yeah, and fucking die. But I guess you could die
in football.
Football.
Yeah. I think it's, I know, I think it can be kind of co-opted for whatever group.
Individual?
Well, no, it can be co-opted for whatever grouping of sports you're talking about. In our world right here, you and I, Todd, in this studio, surf, skate, snow.
Mm-hmm.
In the world outside, when you say action sports, I think most people think surf, skate, snow. But when you start to say extreme sports, that goes back to late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. That's where you start to think
lugeing
of
and
street
luge, base jumping and ice. Yeah. But it is an
escapade.
It's an individual sport.
Would you say like a sport that I like to see on TV, crashed ice, Red Bull crashed ice, right? That is super extreme.
Yeah. I think one of the criteria of it is it's an individual sport.
So okay. Action
no
sport.
No team.
Well, really. It can be a team if it's a team of surfers competing for San Diego.
But it's you by yourself against whatever it is. That's what I think.
That's a good question. In our, let's just simplify the answer. Would be, we think of action sports as surf, skate, snow. There you go. Thank you for those questions. That was awesome. I hope we're gonna do that every episode from now on.
Well, okay.
I might have gotten more. Let me just.
Well, we should end it there.
You want to end it there?
I have to go to go-karting.
You gotta go. Okay, I'm going to be on another podcast right after this.
That's so dumb.
I'm a little pod slut.
What podcast?
I'll tell you after.
All right, well, goodbye,
everyone. Love you all. Thank you for listening. We're going to take a little break because I'm going to Brazil.
Do you
Todd's
really
want to
hurt me?
I do.
Do you really want to make me cry? Do you don't know the rest of the words? Do you really want to make me cry? Goodbye. Goodbye.